The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, Simon Tierney is back with me with his continuing guide, How to Do Stuff. How to do what this week, Simon?
How to stifle a laugh. So what we're looking at is, do you know when you get that kind of uncontrollable urge right in the depth of your belly?
Oh.
You feel the diaphragm muscles contracting and
yes.
expanding. But you're in a situation where it would be deemed inappropriate to express that laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to us. It happens to me. I don't know why it came into my head, but I think I was chatting with an old school friend and we were remembering when we'd be at mass and we would get this kind of uncontrollable collective case of
yes.
And it was very, very hard to suppress. And it got me thinking about, well, what's actually going on there, both physically and psychologically? And what's happening is that you're in a situation where it's socially unacceptable to laugh. The social norm is that you treat a mass seriously.
Yeah.
And that actually heightens the desire to laugh. When there's a social pressure to behave in a certain way, it creates this reaction in you where you automatically want to rebel against that social.
That's funny because what I immediately, the example I thought of was similar. It was at a funeral. I won't say whose funeral, but I was just at a funeral and I remember being there with a couple of friends and someone said something and the three of us, and you know when you're physically, you're touching the other person and you can feel their shoulders shaking as well, and you know everybody is,
it's infectious.
Yeah, it is so infectious and it's totally inappropriate. Yeah. And you know it's inappropriate and it, you're not really being disrespectful, but there's just nothing you can do about it. There's actually nothing. Your body has taken on a mind of its own.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to look at some possible...
It feels great though, doesn't it?
It feels
You
so,
feel great after a belly laugh like
yeah,
that. One of those,
I mean, if
your ribs
just,
are sore.
If you could just nip into the confession box for a moment to release it.
Yeah.
Something like that. But
yeah.
I think what's happening here is a thing called nervous laughter. So psychologists have different theories about this, Kieran. Just to pick up on what you mentioned there about the funeral, I mean, this is very classic. People do tend to laugh at funerals. And there's a good reason why they do. Because when you laugh, it's a way for your body and your mind... Sorry, it's a way for your mind to transfer the pain of that experience to a different part of your body. It's almost like a distraction.
Okay.
Mechanism. So even when you were at that funeral... as just a punter or a guest or a family friend, even for the person who's directly related to the bereavement, they might themselves get a fit of laughter, even though they're genuinely feeling really, really sad, that it becomes a kind of a coping mechanism.
So it's the way your mind is coping with all of this grief.
Mm.
Just transfer it to the rib cage.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I mean, there's a lot of ways that, you know, this expresses itself. Like, you know, there's a theory out there, and I don't know what your listeners think about this, but there's a theory that when wives or husbands are bereaved, that they can suddenly start to experience an increased sexual appetite. And again, that's another kind of way of displacing your emotions.
That
it's a way of distracting your grief to something else.
I think Will Ferrell's character in Wedding Crashers tapped into that
emotional
reality,
yeah.
Didn't he? Remember, that was it.
And at the end of
Nothing
the movie,
Like a Grieving Widow,
yeah,
starts hitting up funerals, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, dismal.
Funny movie.
It is a very funny
20
movie.
20 years old this year.
It is
2005.
Not. Oh my good God.
Yeah.
Anyway, that has up-aged us. Right, so that's nervous laughter, one example of it.
Mm.
Are there other examples of
yeah.
what brings this on?
So romantic attraction is interesting.
Right.
I don't know. I remember when I was younger, when I was in college, and, you know, there was this thing about girls would say, like, oh, I really fancy that guy. Like, he's just so funny.
Mm.
Sometimes they'd say about me, sometimes not. And, you know, everyone presumed that, oh, well, that guy must be really amusing. But the reality is that often, Kate, have you ever had this experience, right?
Go on.
You have a girl, like, really laughing at a guy's jokes.
Yeah.
But no one else in the group finds his jokes that funny.
Yeah, I've seen
right?
this. Yeah.
And she thinks that he's absolutely hilarious. Yeah.
You only notice it when it's happening to someone else. If you're the person telling the jokes and she's laughing, you don't realise that no one else is laughing because you're just so delighted that this one person
you're
is.
You're getting affirmation.
You don't realise. But it's, as an observer, you notice it. You're like, this is not that funny.
It could work both ways, of course. You know, it could be the guy laughing at the girl's jokes and no one else thinks it's entertaining. What's happening there is that the girl doesn't actually find him hilarious. She's using her laughter to signal to him that she's attracted to.
Okay, like a bird of paradise dancing.
Yeah, exactly. It's part of the mating dance and it's a kind of a, it's an affirmation through laughter that she wants to be his mate.
Right, okay.
If we can borrow terminology from the animal world.
Very good.
Now, what are the ways to deal with this? So I've got six solutions.
Okay.
Now,
I'm putting myself back into that funeral.
Yeah. I want the listeners to text in with if they have any solutions that differ from mine, or they might have used some that I have used. The one that I always go for is the trouser pinch, right? So if I'm in mass or if I'm at some place like where laughter is not socially acceptable, I have my hand in my pocket and I will slowly begin to pinch the skin on my leg until it's so painful that my mind's attention moves from what I'm finding really funny to the pain in my leg.
Okay.
This is a classic technique. Have you ever tried it?
No, I've never tried it, no.
Mm, try that.
I think I enjoy the sensation too much. I don't want him to stop.
Yeah, but Kieran, what happens if you start bursting out laughing during
the eulogy or something.
Yeah.
Or if you're giving the eulogy, yeah.
Because
people,
like, the worry is that people might think you're being disrespectful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're absolutely gassing it over in the pew at the back of the church. The next one is a visualization. This is also very classic. Now, the thing that people might do with this is that they might visualize their grandmother in an intimate situation, for example.
Right.
Or they might imagine their dog doing a poo on their favorite dessert. Something that is going to be so grotesque and such an abomination to them that they can't fail but to start to feel something other than
mirth. Isn't it funny how your sense of humor evolves? Because what you just described there, your dog doing a poo on your favorite dessert.
Yeah.
9 and 10 year olds all over the country are wetting themselves laughing at that prospect. They're like, that's brilliant. Did you hear what your man said on the radio?
Yeah. Okay, so that's an age.
Yeah, exactly.
There has to be an age limit on that one.
Maybe come up with something else.
That's very true. And the next one is so American. I was reading this. This is so Yank, right? I don't think Irish people would do this one. It's called anchoring.
Okay, what's that now?
Imagine we're at the funeral together.
Right, okay.
We're like best mates and you start getting a terrible feeling.
You would
whisper over to me and you go, Simon, hold me.
Sorry.
And I would hold you in a small kind of embrace. And the idea is that me being calm and not being affected by whatever is causing you to be,
sorry,
to laugh, that I am anchoring you and I'm holding space for you as a, what's her name? Ariana Grande used to say during the press tour for Wicked a few months ago, I'd be holding space for you and I'd be anchoring you. I don't know if that one's going to work with Irish people.
No.
Delayed gratification. Again, I find this very Yank. This is where you go, okay, you're kind of mindful and you go, okay, I'm experiencing a moment of uncontrolled laughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to delay this until I'm in a place where it's appropriate to explore.
That doesn't work. You can't trigger it then later.
How can you do
that? Yeah, go away.
I don't think that's going to work.
Anything else?
The fifth one is leave. The last two ones I think are fair enough. Leave the room.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to do it.
Yeah, I've definitely done that. Like where it's just, there's no, where you know that you're going to explode at any moment.
Yeah.
And you just, the best thing to do is leave the room. And the last one is replacement therapy. This is where you, what is this one? I've forgotten what this is. Oh, yeah. So you replace, so the normal natural reaction to something funny is to laugh, but you replace the laughter with something else. So it could be licking your lips. It could be exhaling slowly or clicking a pen.
It's kind of distraction, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I've definitely done this. You know, when you think you're going to explode laughter, and you kind of bring your lips in,
yeah,
and bite the inside of your mouth.
Yeah.
That sort of way.
Yeah.
That's definitely a replacement mechanism.
I think you're probably pinching yourself in your pocket.
I am. It's the old
tried and tested,
all reliable,
self-inflicted pain.
Yes.
You know, that's what it comes back to. Simon Tierney. We'll be back with another edition of How to Do Stuff at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.